Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
I'm reading first of all tonight from the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. In the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, you will recall, when we were studying this chapter, we read these verses, or at least the first verse from Isaiah 61. Jesus, and Luke gives the account of Jesus being tempted in Luke 4, the first part of the chapter. And then Jesus begins to teach, and finally he comes home to Nazareth. Went into the synagogue in Nazareth, and the book of Isaiah was delivered to him, and he stood up and read the verse that I've just read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I'd like you to notice two phrases in what I read. To bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenhearted, and to bind up those that are bruised. The fact that Isaiah prophesied that this would be the mission of the Lord into the world tells us that sin hurts. Sin calls for healing. When Adam and Eve had sinned in the Garden of Eden, can you imagine what must have been the hurt and the ache and the pain and the breaking of their hearts as they stood outside the garden out of fellowship with God? Think of all that they had enjoyed. Sin's entered now, and that close communion and fellowship that they had with God has now been broken. And in view of that, don't you know, they stood outside the garden with aching and breaking hearts. Sin had hurt. And in Genesis chapter 3:15, Jesus points out, in reference to what Satan does, that he should bruise his heel, showing the nature of how sin works. In the 18th chapter of the book of 2 Samuel, we have the account of Absalom's rebellion against David. Beginning in verse 24 of that chapter, I read that David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate under the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, a man running along. The watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And so the watchman came on. The runner came on. And he told David, all things are well. But there was another runner behind him, and he came. And he told David what had happened, that his enemies had been killed. And in the latter part, last verses of chapter 18, some of the saddest words coming from an aching and a breaking heart was uttered by David. And I read in verse 33 of 2 Samuel 18, and the king was much moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Can you not feel the ache of the heart, the hurt, the bruise that sin had done when David knew that Absalom was dead, that he died in rebellion against God, trying to take a throne that God had given to David. It was out of a breaking heart that he heard those words. And then I read verse 1 of chapter 19. It was told Joab, "Behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people got them by stealth that day in the city, as the people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face and cried, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son." To read those words is to feel the sense of pain and the hurt and the damage that sin does. And as you read those words, the verses that follow tells about Joab coming to David and said, "David, you ought to be ashamed of yourself." It's true that David was king, but he's also a father. It's true that Absalom had rebelled against God, trying to take over the throne. But I wonder how much Joab really sensed the hurt and the ache and the pain that was in the heart of David that day. And he rebuked David, and David went out and sat by the gate. But as he sat there, can you not understand how that he longed to have someone to heal a broken heart? Not any wonder then that Isaiah 61 says that Jesus came into the world to heal hearts that were breaking, and to heal and bind up those that are bruised, because that's what sin does. It brings hurt and cries out for healing. And therefore, in the ninth chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." And then in the fourth chapter of Luke, from which I read a while ago, when Jesus had closed what he was saying to the people in Nazareth, he said, "They had say, Physician, heal thyself." And so we sing the song sometimes, "The Great Physician." And indeed, that's what Jesus is. He came into the world to heal the hurt that sin has done, to bind up hearts that are breaking, and to heal those that are bruised from what sin has done. So I want to read now from the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, an unusual passage. It has an unusual sentiment in it. Listen as I read, beginning in Matthew 24, and then verse 45. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There's an interesting word that's found in verse 45, look at it. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household?" There's one other time that that word's found in the Bible, apart from being used in reference to when Christ healed the lame or the sick or so on. It's used in that connection. But in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation in verse 2, well, I'm going to read verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the tree of the head, and on either side of the river, was there the tree which bare 12 manner fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The word healing there is our same word that's household in Matthew 24. I think that's significant. In Revelation 22, there is the recognition of the damage and the hurt that sin's done. The hearts that have been broken. The lives that have been bruised by what sin has done. I can bump my arm and there'll be a blue place. Bruised. But a bruised body is nothing to compare with a heart or a spirit that's broken and bruised by what sin has done. And our world today is filled with the lives of people whose lives have been bruised and beaten, and the inward man is broken because of sin. Young people today are taking their lives more than any period of the world, because they have a broken spirit and a broken heart, and they don't see anything left to live for. They have no purpose and meaning in life. Life is futile, and now the hurt that life has brought to them, they don't see anything to look forward to or live for, and so they're taking their own life. How wonderful then that Isaiah saw Jesus coming into the world to heal broken hearts and to heal those that are bruised. And then in Matthew 24 and verse 45, he said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household?" And then that word is translated healing in Revelation 22 and 2. It seems to me, it suggests to our mind that as Christ came into the world to heal hearts that were broken, to bind up those wounds that have come from the bruise that sin gives, that he intended for his church, the household of faith, to render in a world that's hurting, lives that are broken, hearts that are breaking, spirits that are bruised and ready to give up, a healing ministry. A ministry of love. Have you ever thought about that being our mission in the world? The mission of healing the hurts of people, and when lives are broken and hearts are broken, spirits are bruised, then there's an opportunity for us to do what Jesus, in another sense, and not in the full sense in which he did, but to become engaged in the ministry of healing. I think it's unfortunate that when I first began preaching, and I suspect that when I preached here in East Gadsden before, that I did not fully understand and appreciate that above everything else, that my ministry was to be a ministry of healing. That does not mean that truth is to be compromised, because Jesus never did compromise truth. But I wonder sometimes if I really understood and appreciated the fact that it was my work to be engaged in healing the hurt that sin had done, and doing what I could to bind up broken hearts, to heal the bruises come about because of sin. I'm afraid that sometimes, because I did not realize that instead of my ministry being one of healing, it may have been one of hurting. I may have caused hearts to be broken, hearts to be hurt. I may have caused lives and spirits of men to be bruised by things that I said. Maybe in the tone in which I said it. Maybe sometimes in the spirit of self-righteousness. without understanding my own need of the grace of God and God's mercy. Maybe I was like one of the servants that is mentioned there. There are two servants that are described in Matthew 24, and we'll come back and look at it in just a little bit. But we need to think about this. We need to realize that our life is to be given one in loving service, and that's the idea that's presented in Matthew 24. It is to be a loving ministry that is dedicated to the end of healing the hurt that sin has done. Wouldn't it have been wonderful when David went up to his chamber with a heart that was breaking? If there had been someone who could understand and feel the hurt and the bruise that had come into his life because of the rebellion of Absalom, and they could have come in some way, at least tried to perform a healing ministry. And even with what Joab said, if all of it needed to be said, if he could have said it in a different tone, in a different way, and saying, David, I understand. Your heart's breaking. I'd like to do what I can to heal it. But you have a responsibility. You need to go out and let the people know that you appreciate what they've done and that Absalom has done that which is wrong. And you're not upholding Absalom and not defending Absalom. How much better do you think the heart of David would have felt if that had been done? When Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden, no sooner were they cast out of the garden with breaking hearts, and God came in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? God came seeking to bind up and to heal the heart that was breaking. We studied Luke 15, the prodigal son went down the far country, wasted all that he had in riotous living in poverty of spirit and a broken spirit, living alone in the loneliness that must have been his, and being alienated from his father, not enjoying the fellowship of God, as Brother McCord pointed out this morning when he talked about Christ. He said the disciple would be scattered and he'd be left alone, but he said, I'll not be alone. My father will be with me. That wasn't true of the prodigal, because he had left his father behind. He was not trying to do what had pleased his father. And in the loneliness of that hour, there wasn't anybody that came and did anything, offered anything, tried to do anything to heal the hurt that he must have felt, and the shame that was his, in knowing how that he rebelled against God and sinned against God, and how he had grieved the great loving heart of God. There wasn't anybody there. But thank God, when he came home, he found the healing ministry. He found a place that the hurt could be healed and the broken heart could be bound up. And that's what God did when he came back. And he had the feast for him. But there's the elder brother on the outside. Look at it now. Think of it. Here's his brother coming home with a broken heart, with all the hurt that sin has done, the ache and the inward man, and with that broken and contrite spirit, he comes back and said, I just want to be a hired servant. If that elder brother had a chance to talk to his younger brother and had talked to him like he talked about him, can you not sense the hurt that would have come from it? And said, ah, yes, I know. You've been off down yonder living with the harlots. You come dragging back in. Expect something now. And that's the attitude that the scribes and Pharisees had. Jesus gave that parable. in answer to the spirit that they had, stated in Luke 15, when they murmured and complained that the sinners and publicans drew near to hear him. Luke 15:1. And it's easy for us to develop the spirit of self-righteousness and act like the scribes and Pharisees did, and fail to understand the hurt that sin brings about. Round about us today are people living with breaking and aching hearts. Oh, they have thrown away their life in sin. They're down where the prodigal was. But there's the hurt and the ache on the inside. The inward man has been bruised and bleeding. They're looking for someone, waiting for someone, needing someone to heal rather than hurt. Looking back at Matthew 24, well, before I go back, let me read to you from Colossians chapter 3. In verse 8 beginning, Paul said, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds." Look at the words there and see the hurt that comes from the words that are used there. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, abusive language about others. That's what that means. He said all of these have been put off. Now then, he further says in verse 10, "Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him." So the new man is put on, and we're made in the image of the one that created us, and thereby Christ-like. Being Christ-like, then we are engaged in the ministry of healing the hurts and binding up the bruises. Therefore, in verse 12, he said, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Look at the contrast between a healing ministry and a hurting ministry. The words that I read, that Jesus said we're to put on, are all words that are descriptive of a ministry that's engaged in healing the hurts that sin has brought about. Let's go back now to Matthew 24 again. Notice that he says in verse 45, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season?" Look at the language. Who is a wise servant? A wise servant is one that, like his Lord, out of a loving heart is engaged in a loving ministry of healing the hurts of life, making life easier for others. Then on the other side, notice how I said, "But any of that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink and be drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and now that he is not aware of. And he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so here was one. While his Lord was gone, he thought he's out of sight. Instead of engaging in a healing service, in a ministry of healing, he is hurting. That's what he was doing, breaking heart. Hurting other people instead of showing kindness, humbleness of mind, compassion of heart, binding up the broken heart, healing the bruise, That wasn't what he's doing. I need to ask myself the question. As I look at my life and at my work and at my Christianity, is my life spent in healing hurts of others? Or do I hurt others? And that's a sobering question. Jesus said, as the people stood before the judgment, loyalty to him was demonstrated in one spending their life in healing the hurts and binding up broken hearts and undoing the damage that sin had done. Healing ministry. That's loyalty to it. Disloyalty to him was being involved in a ministry of hurting others and breaking hearts and bruising lives. Aren't you glad to belong to a household of faith whose ministry is that of when sin has broken my heart, bruised my life, that others understand, and they take the time, and out of a loving heart, they help to heal. Perhaps I mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. I heard Brother Nichols preach in a meeting at Sansom Avenue, even before I moved to East Gadsden. Came up to hear him one day. They were having day services. And I shall never forget that he said when he had sinned and done wrong and his heart was breaking, he hoped that brethren would be tender with him. And I remember the passage that he used when he referred to the fact that when David had sinned, that David talked about the tender mercies of God. Can't you see it? When the prodigal son came home, brokenhearted, sin had hurt, sin had damaged, sin had bruised the inward man, bowed down in sorrow, aching, he found his father ready to engage in the ministry of healing. And there's the tender mercy we ran to meet him. Threw his arms around him, kissed him. And when the prodigal son started to make his speech, he didn't let him. He said, bring out the robe and the shoes and kill the fatted calf. What that must have done to heal the heart that was broken for that prodigal son. Aren't you glad that God is like that? That when sin has done its damage, it's wounded the soul, bruised the spirit, with an aching and a breaking heart, we come back home to God. His tender mercy brings out the robe, furnishes the sandals, and kills the fatted calf. To heal the heart that's broken. It's taken me a long time in life to really learn that God's like that. And it's even more difficult to learn to be like that. But that's what Jesus came to do, to bind up the broken heart. To heal the hurts. Let us try to imitate him. Be like him. And where we find lies that are bruised, leap to heal. I indeed believe that that's a household that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. The household of faith. A household where hearts are healed and lives are made better. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the world today, with the hurt that sin has done, could see that the church of the Lord, the kingdom of God, is involved in the ministry of healing. And like Christ, they'd like to do all that they can to heal the hurt that sin has done, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the bruised. I hope we'll think about this. That as we live our days, we look around about us and where we find hearts that are broken, where lives that have been bruised by sin, we'll try to take advantage of it. And with the compassion of our Lord, use our talents and our abilities and our words, whatever it may be, to bind up the hearts that are breaking. It may be that you're in the audience tonight and your heart is broken by sin. If that's the case, the Lord would like for you to know that He came to bind it up, to heal it. He can do that tonight. And He'll extend to you the tender mercy so that you may leave with a heart that's been bound and healed by His grace and by His love, to go home and know the peace of mind and the joy that the prodigal son must have had. Can you not think of the sleepless nights that boy must have had while he was away down in the far country? But what a night of sleep he must have had that night he got back home. Wouldn't you like to have that? You can tonight. If you believe that Christ is God's Son, tired and weary of sin, want to give it up, we'll confess Him. Be baptized into Christ tonight. You can leave here, and God will heal all the damage that sin has done. Oh, there will be consequences that will never be undone, but it healed a breaking heart. If you're a Christian and your heart is breaking because of sin, and sin brought damage to your heart, He can heal that tonight through penitence, confession, and prayer.